This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. In the name of the one true God, we gather. May we hear in his name and speak with his heart. Amen. Please be seated. So, doomsday predictions. In the last 20 years, I know I've heard about doomsday predictions. Can any of you think of any? Just raise your hand if you're willing to say what they are.
It's December 22nd. I don't know
December 22nd. You know what that one is? The Mayan calendar ends the 21st, right? So the world is supposed to end on that day with the winter equinox. Okay, that's one. Others? Others? Yeah. The Y2K thing at the turn of the millennium. We all thought, they thought we couldn't handle the new numbers, so everything was going to crash and we were going to die. Another? What about last year? Do you remember last year? The guy that said that Jesus was going to come on earth on May 21st, 2011. And on that day, all the righteous were going to be taken up into heaven. Not everybody, just the righteous. But Jesus would be here. And then from that day, May 21st until October 21st, when the world was actually going to end, there would be millions of people dying daily and earthquakes and famines and all the things we just heard about. I don't know what Jesus would be doing all that time. He wouldn't be sitting there watching this? Well, a funny story. I was, when I wasn't down here yet on May 22nd, 2011, I was still working up north. And there was another priest that day that was doing the announcements in the church where I worked. And we were there on the morning after. The Sunday was May 22nd. And so he came out to do the announcements and he walked out and he said, "Well, we're here. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a bad thing." To think maybe we had gotten left behind, you know, the books, the series, same kind of mentality. Same kind of mentality. We joke. And yet, taking our lives seriously is important. We joke because it really hits a nerve within us. We joke. And yet, the Mayan calendar, I did a little research, and not a lot of research, but they've proven that there's nothing, the scientists have, there's no reason on earth that the world should come to an end this coming December 21st. NASA says there's nothing going on in the planetary connections or anything, and that basically, scientists agree with Jesus. Scientists agree with Jesus. Only God knows when this earth will end. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." In today's story, when Jesus is talking about the end of the world and nation rising up against nation and earthquakes and famines, he was having a private conversation with the people that were closest to him, his nearest and dearest disciples and followers. He had already entered into Jerusalem. It was the last week of his life. It's the beginning of what's called the final discourse, the final conversation that he would be having. And he had told the disciples again and again and again that he was going to die and rise on the third day. They didn't want to hear it. They began to hear it, but they missed the third day part, the rising again. But he knew it. And it didn't make it any easier for him. Jesus, we forget sometimes, was a human being. A human being facing what was sure to be his own brutal murder. His own brutal murder, and he wanted to be able to tell those closest to him everything that's gone on and everything that is yet to go on is not the end. But it's only the beginning of the birth pangs, the beginning of the labor for a new age, a new time, a new life coming in to the world. I was reminded of the beauty of this cycle of life this past week. Some of you know from our mission trip, Mary, my friend from up north, she went with us as the nurse. She lives in Virginia. And this past week on Wednesday, her mom died. And so she and I have been spending a lot of time on the telephone. And while the past few days before her mom died were she suffered a great deal, Mary said that she had the most amazing and sacred death, what's called a good death. She had her family and friends around, and one day when Mary was there, she told Mary that her deceased brother, meaning Anne, the woman that was dying, son, who had died several years ago, had come to visit her. Also, her deceased husband, she said, had come to visit her. Mary didn't know what to do with that. She prayed. Her mother was anticipating a reunion. A reunion. She was ready to go. She had fought the good fight. She had lived a long life, and she knew it. So they gathered around her bed, and Mary's two brothers and her and the mom, just the immediate family as things would have it. Everybody else had left for a few moments. They held hands, and the brother put on this iPod of Amazing Grace, a rendition that Mary's mom particularly liked. And they just held hands, and on the very last note of the song, her mom took her last breath. She said, "You couldn't have orchestrated it better in Hollywood. It was just beautiful," she said. "Really beautiful. The end is but the beginning." The day before this happened with my friend Mary, her daughter was 8 weeks pregnant with her first child, had gone to have the ultrasound, and had heard the fetal heartbeat for the first time. For the first time. She and her husband had endured a miscarriage the year before. Yes, she and her husband. And they were terrified. And to hear this baby's heartbeat, they were filled with hope. And yes, in honor of the life of their grandma. The end is but the beginning. There's an invitation today from Jesus, as there always is. Always an invitation to have ears to hear, eyes to see, to know that all of life is filled with new possibilities in every moment. Chaos indicates that something is definitely changing. Definitely changing. It may take a while, but something new is going to occur once that chaos has settled. In our calm times, there's God. In our chaos times, there's God. And so to practice looking for God in our everyday moments, what we here at St. Joseph's have started to call God sightings, is good practice. Eric and Heather lead a group called Untapped, which is a gathering every other Friday night for 20s and 30s at the Little House in Boynton. Come if you can. Next time's the 30th. They start the group every time sharing the highs and lows that have gone on since the last gathering. And then, where did you see God? Where did you see God? What a question. And what a place. There's not too many places where you can discuss that. Father Marty has started vestry meetings now with this question. Where did you see God in your life? It takes practice to notice, because God is always, always there. We tend to focus on the negative. We tend to focus on the news that gets the headlines. We tend to notice all the awful things going on instead of looking for where God is in the midst of all of it. And there's always something to see. I was listening to the news the other night, some people there talking about the difficulties they were having after Hurricane Sandy had come in New Jersey. They had nothing. But they were giving thanks that they were alive and that they could help each other. They were giving thanks. They saw God in the midst of it, as we do anytime there's a calamity and we come together in ways that we really are meant to come together all the time. The end is but the beginning. if we have a hard time seeing it, as we do from time to time when we're all going through hard situations in our lives, we need only look at nature. We need only look at nature. Brown leaves become the mulch for new life. I told a story many months ago that's worth repeating, so forgive me if you've heard it before, but after Mount St. Helens erupted, the volcano erupted, and there was ash everywhere for miles and miles and miles, everything destroyed, there was a forest ranger that was making his daily rounds as he always did. And one day he was looking for life anywhere, trying to see new life starting to grow. They knew the forest would come back eventually. And in the distance, he saw something green, and he walked over to it, and when he looked down, he realized it was in the shape of an antelope. It was in the shape of an antelope. The end is but the beginning. Fertilizer for new life, new seeds, new growth. None of us will ever forget the horror that was September 11th. We all wondered if that was the end of time for us. I'm sure it crossed many people's minds, myself included, if I'm honest. We spent the day here. I was a chaplain at the school at the time, spent the day here in the church comforting each other and praying. But I'll also never forget what happened that afternoon when I went home. I walked into my kitchen. I looked out the dining room window, and I saw something moving down in the grass. And as I looked closer, it looked like a baby bird. So I went outside, and sure enough, I kid you not, it was a dove. There was a baby dove in the grass. And I walked over, and it let me pick it up, and I placed it in a box, and I took it inside, and I fed it with a medicine dropper. I mean, this was on September 11th, 2001, and then I brought it into school. I couldn't get over the miracle and the beginning in that moment. And we and the children and I prayed for that baby bird, and we nurtured it. And we released it, and it flew and was strong. End is but the beginning. Jesus did say so long ago, wars and rumors of war, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes in various places, famines. God knows we see it every day when we listen to the news. Different uprisings and different angst and anxieties and horrors in our world. We do see it. And we do get bogged down, but Jesus doesn't end it there. At the end of the gospel today, and what he told his disciples, as I said, was that it's the beginning of the birth pangs, the beginning of labor for something new. If any of you have had a baby, you know that that labor is intense. But quickly then, there's amazing new life emerges and is before you and is a miracle. You're not quite sure how it happens, but it does. But it does. As Christians, it's our faith that drives us to midwife all that is new in this world. We are co-creators in and through the power of God working through us to notice God in our everyday life, like that heartbeat of a fetus and like a wonderful, amazing grace of a beautiful death, and like that dove. One night last week, my brother's girlfriend was over with her niece, Abby, who was visiting from D.C. Abby works for a company that was started by eBay. The eBay founders, they started this foundation because pretty much overnight, eBay became a multi-billion-dollar company. They didn't know what to do with all their money. Nice problem to have. But they decided to start this foundation called Humanity United. And it is alive and well and growing strong. And I spent some time on their website the other day, and I was knocked off my feet by what they're doing. Their mission is to provide for an end to genocide and human trafficking. And they give millions and millions and millions of dollars this year to 157 different places that they have shown, and their money can check out to be sure that they are doing good work, doing the good fight. 157 different grants just to end genocide and human trafficking in our world. The end is but the beginning. And they are committed to seeing the end of that. positive efforts in this world are happening in the midst of serious, horrible upheavals. And it's our job to notice it and raise it up for all to see and talk about it in and through the power of the Holy Spirit as God sightings. That's what God's about. The solutions and the positive relationships and the healing and the sitting with somebody who's troubled. Not being afraid to have those tough conversations. I have a framed verse in my office that's pulled me out of darkness on more times than I can tell you. Maybe you've heard it. It goes like this. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I have to read it over and over again sometimes, and then it lifts me into the light. And you know, I want to apologize for making fun of Harold Camping at the beginning of the sermon, the guy that predicted the end of the world. Because now, in my research about all these end time predictions, I found out that Harold Camping has changed his tune a little bit. He's changed his tune. When the end of the world didn't happen, he decided that it was wrong to try to predict it, and not only that, but that it was a sin to try to predict the end of the world. And he said, he's now searching the Bible even more fervently, not to find dates, but to be more faithful in his understanding. May we all be so true. Amen.